If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at a few verses in Leviticus 10 this morning, and then linking it up with some verses in 1 Corinthians. And I want to read a portion of this to you this morning. You know, sometimes when there's a distance in years between the biblical account and today, we tend to lose some of the impact that some of these events may have had. So I want you to put on the sandals, if you will, of Moses. Can you do that? Some of you look like you're as old as Moses. No, I'm only kidding. Are you awake? Okay, thank you. All right. But I want you to hear this, and I want you just for a moment to imagine that you were a witness to this, okay? Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, that's where they burned the incense, put fire in them, added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his commandment. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. What would your reaction have been if you were there? Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all people, I will be honored. Aaron remained silent. Then Moses summoned two nephews of Aaron to come and carry the bodies outside the camp. And the rest of that I'm going to hold for now. And we'll see how that plays out a little later on. But I want you to keep that in mind. I just want you to keep that in mind. I'm going to ask a question that you may think is totally unrelated at this point. But how many of you woke up this morning and you expected to catch a cold? Well, it's good that none of you woke up with that intention, right? But when we're among people, you know, it's possible that we can share germs, right? And without even realizing, we can catch a cold. I know this is an illustration I've used before, but it goes on to talk about today what we need to talk about. As we go about our daily routines in life, we're exposed to other people and other germs. Aren't we? Not only are we exposed to other people and other germs, but I want to suggest to you we're exposed to so much input in a given day that some of it might not be bad, but a lot of it is negative. And sometimes, and probably more often than we'd like to admit, sometimes it affects us. Doesn't it? So generally speaking, you and I catch colds without even trying. I want to suggest to you, we tend to catch our culture like we catch a cold. And this exposure to many cultural things in the course of the day, which may have a negative influence on us, can result in us becoming numb to what the Bible calls sin. Isn't that true? For instance, television programs. Movies, commercials. Now, listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't see these. What I'm saying is be aware that, generally speaking, television these days used to be what was rated R in the movies years ago. Okay? You got a movie now, what was PG is rated R now, right? And even commercials. I mean, there's nothing sacred anymore, even on commercials. I mean, it's intensely personal in some instances. In some instances, all they're selling are bodies, not their product, even though that leads to their product. They could even change our thinking about what the nature of sin is. We think that because something has become legal or socially acceptable, that it's okay, even if it violates the word of God. Even if it violates the word of God. I want to suggest to you that, although maybe I'm being too strong in this, I don't know, you know. If I am, you can come and talk to me later. But I want to suggest to you this is a serious, serious problem in today's church. Because we do catch our culture like we catch the cold. And so things that become socially acceptable are all of a sudden okay. Living together outside the bounds of marriage. Seems like we have everything in reverse these days, you know. Couples get together and they have kids before they get married, if they ever get married. It seems like fiancés now are just people you live with rather than a commitment to get married. It seems like we have an attitude that can become very lackadaisical at times that says we can live the way any way we want. After all, God will understand. And I want to suggest to you that's bad thinking. And it's not only bad thinking, it's toxic when it comes to the life of a church. Someone said sin is like a man's beard. Those of us who have been blessed with heavy beards know that if we, for instance, if I were dating Mary Lou, and I had to do this years ago, and I were to pick her up after work and we would go someplace, not only would I have to shave in the morning for work, but I have to shave at night because I get 5 o'clock shadow at noon. That's, I don't know if it's my Italian heritage or what, but I get 5 o'clock shadow at noon. And so I know that, you can shave all you want, you can have a clean shave, but it's coming back. And this person says, sin is like a man's beard. Although we shave it daily, it constantly reappears. Oof. That means even though we are followers of Jesus Christ, we still have to be on guard against sin, don't we? Haddon Robinson once made this statement. He said, from God's view, sin is like a stench in his nose. So where we get this view that God tolerates sin is beyond me. You saw in the beginning of these verses that this chapter shouts out to us that God takes sin seriously. Here's the instance where the priesthood, Aaron's Levitical priesthood, was a week old. Just a week old. And his two sons decided that they knew better than God. And what happened was they took the instruments of the high priest, Aaron, and assumed that God would be okay with it when they had explicit instructions that was only for the high priest. And then they offered a sacrifice that they thought God would be happy with, even though the way they offered it was contrary to what God demanded. And what was the consequence? They died. You say, boy, isn't God a little bit harsh? Well, seems to me that God, when he initiates something, has to make a statement to people that he's serious about it. Do you remember the account in the New Testament with Ananias and Sapphira? Church just got made, if you will, on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God came, 5,000 people saved. God was doing mighty things. Ananias and Sapphira said, we're going to sell what we own and we're going to give it all to God. They were more interested in making themselves look good than being truthful. First of all, they didn't have to say that. Second of all, if they wanted to keep some of that, that would have been fine. But when they did it, they didn't give it all to God. And God held them accountable. And they had a chance to confess and to repent. And then when that didn't happen, you remember the story? They died. And you say, well, Pastor, this is a real downer. We don't want to hear about this. Well, I'm sorry. I can't order this down. There's no way I can order this down. All I can say to you is this, that God gives us his word. God warns us. God says for us, this side of the cross, right, that we have the Holy Spirit who will prompt us to tell us when we've overstepped the line. And for us, we have the gift of when we do that, we can come in confession and repentance. However, if we think we can go on sinning and fool God and mock God, we need to be careful, because God's not going to be mocked in that way. There's several principles in this passage. I'm going to go over them quickly with you before he goes into the Lord's table about how seriously God views sin because of who God is, his character. First, in verses 1 to 3, which are the verses I read to you, God is holy and pure. He is holy and pure. There is no sin in God. Can we say amen to that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Therefore, God deserves our respect and honor. He cannot condone sin, nor will he ever condone sin. Now, here's where you need to be careful, too, because some of us may have a different definition of what sin is than what the Bible says. As a result of all that input that we get, let me ask you, please, to examine everything by the Scripture. What I say, what you see, what you hear, what you do, and let the Spirit of God be your teacher. Because I'm afraid there are some things that we entertain that God may not be pleased with. God will prove his holiness to all his people. You know, when I watch the news too much, or I read the newspaper, or I go online and I see what's happening in the world, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? It's easy to think that evil is winning. It's easy to think that, you know, the bad guys are doing good, you know? We can get into these mindsets, but ultimately, God's going to have the last word. He will ultimately have the last word. If we don't think that, we're living delusionally. Why? Because the Bible says it. He is going to have the last word. He will prove his holiness to all people. In the New Testament, it says, when Christ comes back again, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Second, I see our pride and arrogance will always lead us to sin. That's the root of sin. Pride. That's what Aaron's son, both his sons, were battling with, pride and arrogance. You know what I think happened? I don't know for sure. I'll speculate. I think after the ordination was over and Moses handed off the ministry of the priesthood to Aaron and his sons, it was almost like, hey, look at me. Look at me, you know. I have authority now. Once you think you have authority, you got nothing. Okay? Because the only authority we get as Christ followers is whatever God gives to us. And we better use that for his glory, not ours. And I think they got cocky. I think pride kicked in. And it always leads to arrogance and sin. Always. How does the author of Proverbs say it? Pride comes before what? A fall. That fall is sin. That happens when we really don't believe that God means what he says. Isn't that true? That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan put that suggestion into Eve. God really mean what he says. When we start to doubt that God really means what he says, then we're in trouble. We think we can take the next step and think we know better than God. Listen to me. I tell you from experience of a lot of years, when I take situations into my own hands, I screw it up. And I make matters worse rather than looking to God and waiting on God. We lose sight of God's holy character. how easy that happens, isn't it? How easy it happens. We go into the real world and we get pulled and tugged so many different ways, we can start ignoring who God really is. The third thing I see here is God continually warns us that we must take sin seriously. In the remainder of the verses in that chapter, Moses repeats the command of God to the other sons and remaining priests. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. There was an added problem here, and this comes out later in the verses. The added problem is not only were the sons prideful and arrogant, but they were drunk. It says it right in there. And Moses says, when you're in the service of the Lord, priests, you're not to come and do the work impaired. It's bad enough some people drive impaired and cause serious accidents and hurt themselves and hurt other people, sometimes kill other people. But Moses says you can't do the work of the Lord impaired. We need to be reminded of God's word and his holy character. We need to confess sin with a desire of repentance. God, our Father, will discipline us when we start to drift into sin. I'm talking to Christ followers. When we start to play around with sin, God will send discipline. Not to hurt us, but to get us back on track again. And what do you think will happen if we don't listen? Well, then he'll discipline a little bit harder, won't he? And he's not doing this because he doesn't like us or he doesn't want to have fun. He doesn't want us to have fun. He does it for our own good and for his glory. He will discipline us. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. Joey, do I have it on there? Okay. 1 Corinthians 11. As we prepare to come around the Lord's table. I want to read this to you. Please pay attention. Okay? This is Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the Corinthians. Let me frame this out for you. The Corinthian church was a mess. They were arguing among themselves who was better than who. The rich had their own cliques, the poor had their own cliques, and they both didn't like each other. They were following different leaders within the church. The church was fractured. And beyond that, when they came to the Lord's table, they were coming either as gluttons or drunks. Sound familiar? In the following directives, Paul says, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Whoa! Talking about being direct. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. There's the cliques. As a result, one person remains hungry and another one gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat or drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then whoever eats or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And what Paul is trying to say here is, look, you can't come carelessly. God is a holy God. And God means what he says. God takes sin seriously. So should we. Listen how he goes on. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That means we need to spend time with God in confession and repentance and ask for forgiveness for sin so that we can come and celebrate around the Lord's table. Then look what he says. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment to themselves. This is why many among you are what? Weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. You know what that means? Died. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Dr. Robert Cook, some of you remember, he's with the Lord now. He would say this, and he would encourage my heart with it. Every time he said it, he would say, my beloved sisters and brothers, that was his, my beloved, everybody was beloved, right? My beloved sister and brothers, it's better to deal with sin here now than wait and deal with it before God. That's why Jesus gave us the Lord's table. In his grace. But we can't come on our terms. We have to come on his terms. With hearts that are examined. By who? By the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Willing to confess sin that is revealed to us. Be willing to repent and turn from that sin. And ask God's help not to do it again. For his strength. Because, you know, I know many of you women are here, don't battle with beards. But just like a man's beard that tends to crop up again, we're going to have to deal with it again. Somebody once said to me, Pastor, you know, I genuinely go to God and I confess the sin and I ask his help, but, you know, I do it again. You know, what should I do? Confess it again. Well, yeah, and then what should I do? Confess it again. And then confess it again. Because God will work, if you truly mean it, he will work in your life to start to take away the desire. Little by little. So if you go a whole year confessing the same sin, and you're truly serious about it, I guarantee you that it's going to become less and less frequent as you go through the year. Sometimes he takes it right away from us. Sometimes. That's his business. But we should never play around with sin. We should always confess it. I'm going to ask those who are serving the Lord's table to come up.